For a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues, etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled 2, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 15 Easter hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. Tomorrow, families will be gathering around the table, celebrating being thankful. What does that mean, to be thankful? There's that general sense of thankfulness. I'm just glad things are the way they are. Or at least the good things in my life are the way they are. But we've, especially as Americans, been able to celebrate Thanksgiving a lot of times without consideration of who provides all that we have. And that leaks over into church, doesn't it? You'll go to church tomorrow for a Thanksgiving Day celebration, and you'll hear a lot about being thankful and what you should be thankful for. And then maybe, as a footnote to the end of the message, you might be told who to be thankful for. Maybe God in general. Maybe Jesus will get mentioned. Does Jesus get the Thursday off when the church joins together to be thankful to God for all that God has given? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Joining us today to discuss the fourth petition to the Lord's Prayer, which has to do with gathering around that table, give us this day our daily bread, Pastor Peter Bender. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. Peter, welcome back.
Todd, it's good to be with you again.
So we'll hear a lot about these, we would call them as Lutherans, first article gifts, the food, the clothing, the home, the family, the whole laundry list of things in a Thanksgiving Day sermon. And then maybe Jesus and his death on the cross for us is added as a footnote. Does Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior, get Thanksgiving off in church?
I think in many churches he does. But what we have to hold up as Christians is the fact that it is the mercy of God, the grace of God in Christ, that makes all of the blessings of temporal food and drink and daily bread possible. In other words, if it were not for the grace and love of God in Christ redeeming the world, none of us, including unbelievers, would enjoy any of those things. And the same love of God, which is selfless and self-giving, that moved him to create, is that same love of God that moved him to redeem the creation from sin and death. And we need to see Christ at the center of every blessing. And kind of to say it the other way is that every blessing of daily bread, food, drink, clothing, shoes, so forth, that we might receive are but signs and tokens of the greater blessing of God's grace and salvation in Christ, and we actually have them and enjoy the preservation of our lives in this world because of what Christ has done in his atonement.
In a more general sense, have you noticed this? I have, that especially we as Americans, and even American Christians, have developed the ability to be thankful in a general sense, sometimes without any object of our thankfulness, that is, without thanking anyone in particular.
Sure, and not recognizing the giver of those gifts. I think there's a sense in which the laundry list of things for which, you know, we ought to be thankful. Look at all that you've got. You ought to be thankful. The laundry list itself can become a temptation to idolatry, in the sense that I can be thankful because look at all of the stuff that I've got. And so if I'm a person that doesn't have all that stuff, well, I have less reason to be thankful. So it moves the object of faith away from Christ away from God, whether we have or don't have what we think we should have, to those things that we want, if you follow what I'm saying.
So it's kind of a qualified thankfulness, because it's always being tempered by what we do not have.
Correct. And so some people will say things like, I have a lot to be thankful for this year. I've got good health. I've got a wonderful family, a wonderful wife, a wonderful marriage, and so forth. And then someone else might say, I sure don't have a lot to be thankful for this year. I've got problems in my marriage, problems in the home, I'm out of work, and so forth. And Christian thankfulness is completely different. You know, in everything, by prayer and supplication, we let our requests be made known to God, and we do so with thankfulness. If God has permitted me to suffer the loss of some things, it must be for my good, because He only gives me what is good, and that's I love and trust in Him, because He is the God of goodness and the God of grace and love.
Now, in the Lord's Prayer, it, maybe I'm strange, but it has always struck me as a bit odd. We have these very high-flown petitions. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those
right.
first three petitions are, for lack of a better word, quite spiritual. And then, boom, you're right down to the most mundane thing in human existence, the food I put in my mouth. Seems kind of a jarring transition that Jesus puts us through in the Lord's Prayer. What's going on?
Well, sure. In those first three petitions that you articulated from the Lord's Prayer, they are deeply spiritual, the hallowing of God's name through faithful preaching and leading one's life according to the Word of God, His kingdom coming as He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we look for the second coming of our Lord as well, and that His will is done, His good and gracious will to preserve and keep us in the faith. But the fourth petition leads us to understand that this God whom we worship, who gives us His Word, who brings us into His kingdom by faith, is intimately involved with every mundane, ordinary, day-to-day aspect of our lives. And Luther certainly does a wonderful job of highlighting the obvious, but we sometimes don't think about all of those gifts of daily bread the way he speaks of them.
One of the insights that Luther brings to this petition of the Lord's Prayer, really drawn from Scripture itself, is what scientists might call the chain of causality. That is, we're not just giving thanks for the bread as it sits on the plate, but we should consider the person who baked it, the oven in which it was baked, the mill that ground the wheat, the river that provided the water, the farmer who planted the wheat, and all the generations of farmers before him who provided that seed
right.
through that endless, almost seemingly endless chain, all the way back to the Creator himself. Why does he want us to think about the chain through which God gives this loaf of bread?
Because God wants us to see that he is involved in every aspect of our lives, and he wants us to understand that he continues to create and to give his good gifts of daily bread and to help and provide for us through one another. So if you go back to creation and think about how fruitful God was in the creation of all things by his word, and then he says to man, be fruitful and multiply. And you think how he had a benevolent and gracious dominion over the creation. And so he says to us, have dominion. So we do the things that he does, and we are the things that he is, and that's how he continues to be involved in our lives, in the ongoing creation and governance of the world. And he wants us to share in that. So rather than being distant from us, he actually works in and through us. And so we serve our neighbor in love, in our vocation and calling. That includes the father and the mother who provide for their family and their children. And in so doing, God is working through them, and they are masks of God. And the merchant and the businessman and the factory worker and so forth, they are all then conduits and instruments of God's continued fruitfulness and ongoing providing of his people.
Is this, with about a minute before our break, is this provision that God is intimately involved in for all men, not just for Christians?
Oh, yes, it is. And I love how Luther handles this in the fourth petition explanation in his small catechism. Give us this day our daily bread. He says, God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. And in that sentence, he's speaking about his universal grace for all people. It's not as if we as Christians enjoy daily bread and God provides for us our food and drink and house and home and so forth, but he doesn't do that for the unbelievers who reject him and are wicked because of it. No, he does it for all people, and that is a testament to his universal grace and love for the world.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're talking about the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. When we come back, well, we are asking that this bread be provided daily, and the words there that Jesus uses for daily bread are unmistakable. It's about the day-to-day bread. There's got to be a connection to the day-to-day bread that God provided for his people in the Old Testament. Day by day, give us our bread. We'll talk about that daily aspect of God's provision with Pastor Peter Bender right after this. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor.
Concordia University Chicago grounds students in objective truth, integrity, and excellence, and practices faithfulness to the confessional teachings of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is Dr. Eric Ankerberg, Provost at CUC. Please consider joining our faculty community. We currently have openings for Dean of the College of Business and for Director of our new nursing program. And soon we will also begin a search for the new Dean of the College of Education. Learn more on the employment page at cuchicago.edu.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Oh,
Stanza one of the hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, sung by the choir of King's College. We're talking about the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. Now, we are thankful to God for and thankful to congregations like Peace Lutheran in Sussex, Wisconsin, because they're part of the Issues Etc. 300. That means God is providing through them for the ongoing outreach of Issues Etc. when they put Issues Etc. in their budget to the tune of $1,000 or more per year. That's what it means to be an Issues Etc. 300 congregation. It's our congregational sponsorship program. Now, there are benefits to being part of the Issues Etc. 300, and you can find out all about them at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on support, and you'll find a one-page flyer that you can print off. It'll tell you about the Issues Etc. 300, and especially during this time when congregations are finalizing budget matters, it's a good way for you to introduce the idea to your congregation and ask them to be part of the Issues Etc. 300. Pastor Bender, Jesus says daily bread, and it seems to be not just a kind of a flip comment on bread. It seems to be part and parcel of how he wants us to consider God's provision. What's he saying?
That's right. I had quoted for you before the break the first part of his explanation to the fourth petition, that God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. Well, if he gives it without our prayers, then why are we praying, give us this day our daily bread? I mean, some people think that God only gives because of our prayers, so if we don't pray, then God will not give. Well, if that were the case, then we would all starve to death because our worship and our prayers certainly falter. So why do we pray, give us this day our daily bread? And he goes on to say that we pray in this petition so that God would lead us to realize this, to live by faith in him each day, that the air that I breathe, the food that I put in my belly, the clothes on my back, the roof over my head, even such things as devout workers or faithful rulers or good government or weather and so forth are all gifts of God. And we so often don't realize that. And the realization of it and receiving it with thanksgiving, at the heart of that is faith, the heart that trusts God. And that's what we're praying for more than anything else under the fifth petition, is that we would learn to believe that he is the gracious giver God and that he provides daily for us, every second of our lives.
I hear echoes of what St. Paul says, coming back to how we began our conversation, when the logic that Paul uses is, if he did not spare his own son,
right,
but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him give us all things? Talk about that passage.
Yeah, in that passage from Romans, he's making an argument from the greater to the lesser. We so often get stressed out about so much of our lives, when if you step back and you think, you know, we may be stressed out about this or that, but look at all that we are and have. But Paul goes a step further and says, look, if he provided you with Christ Jesus, his son, who suffered and died for you upon the cross, if he gave him up into death for your salvation eternally, won't he provide you with all that you need to support your body and life? And of course, the answer is yes, an emphatic yes.
Jesus speaks at length about our anxiousness, or we would say our worry, and he seems to say something rather remarkable, something that we find on a daily basis almost impossible to grasp and believe, and that is that we have nothing to worry about, not clothes, not food, nothing. Can this be that we really have nothing to worry about with God as our provider?
That is exactly correct. He who did not spare his own son, will he not also along with him freely give us all things? Now, having said that, that doesn't mean we won't suffer the loss of things. Our life, our property, our honor as Christians, we may lose it, as Jesus did. But it is not as if someone has snatched us away from God if that happens. Rather, we're called to believe that if he permits us to suffer the loss of such things, then it is ultimately for our good, and that in our lives we might bear witness to Christ, confess him. And this is why Thanksgiving is not simply a time in which we are thankful for all of the good stuff that we have according to our own human reason's understanding of it, but a time in which we especially give thanks to God for some of the things that we don't have, that our flesh might think that we should have, but if we don't have them, and if he hasn't provided them for us, this is good, because his mercy in Christ endures forever, and he only gives us what is good. And sometimes it's through the suffering of want or need that we are enabled to confess that the clearest.
Well, let's clarify that. I agree, he only gives us what is good, but that doesn't mean, does it, Pastor, that as a Christian, let's say my wife gets cancer, I say, well, that's a good thing.
Of course, we would grieve over that, wouldn't we? And we would pray, if it is your will, bring healing and a restoration of health to my wife. But finally, in the end, not my will, but thine be done. And we pray for the peace of God to accept some of those hardships and to suffer the loss of those things without despairing of our faith. And Paul speaks about his thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, how he besought the Lord three times to remove this thorn. And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And then finally, while it certainly grieved Paul, this thorn in the flesh that he had, finally, in the end, faith always rests in the gospel. And faith always has the gospel as the object of its worship. And so Paul then goes on to say, most gladly then will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So we don't take pleasure in death, in the death of loved ones, in sickness and hardship. However, in the end, faith rests in the peace of God in Christ Jesus, the peace of his forgiveness, which surpasses all understanding. And we learn to do this by looking to the cross of our Lord Jesus, his suffering and death. You know, when the disciples experienced that Holy Week, and particularly the end of the week when Jesus is arrested, and when he is beaten, and when he is sentenced to death, and when he is crucified, they were, no doubt, absolutely convinced that nothing good could come out of this. Not only that, they were certainly not in a very thankful mood when that was happening. But in the end, it was the ultimate good. And so when we experience suffering and the loss of daily bread in our lives, finally faith must rest in the suffering of Christ for our salvation in the grace of God that is revealed in the gospel, knowing that he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all will freely give us all things. And also in that same chapter of Romans, the present sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so the things that he gives or the things that he takes away of daily bread are always done to serve the cause of faith in Christ.
Does this promise that God provides, does it relieve us of responsibility to work?
Oh, by no means. But we engage in work as that great gift that God has given us in this world to serve our neighbor in love. And as we said earlier, to understand that when I'm working to provide for my family a roof over their head and food on the table, that I'm serving my neighbor in love, and this is actually how God is continuing to provide for them. So we don't say, well, God provides for everything, so we'll sit out in the cornfield and on our easy chair and wait for the manna to fall from heaven.
Is there a connection between that daily bread and the manna from heaven in the Old Testament?
Yes, I think that there is. When on the one hand, we are given work to do as husbands and wives and fathers and mothers and workers and employers. And we're given to do all that we can according to our station and calling in life. And then in the end, we're called to go to sleep at night and commend it all to God in prayer. There's only so much we can do, and the rest is commended to God. And so the children of Israel in the wilderness, while the manna came from heaven, because that part of the world in which they were traveling, there certainly weren't a lot of things to eat readily at hand. But they were also called to gather it every day. And not to, God didn't place it in their mouths. They went out and gathered it and received what he gave. And that's what they were given to do.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk more about the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is a series of sermons written by a Lutheran pastor during a late 16th century plague. The book is titled The Joy of Eternal Life by Pastor Philip Nicolai. The Joy of Eternal Life is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Find your own hope and comfort in knowing that eternal life waits for you with the new book, The Joy of Eternal Life.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
At Risen Christ Lutheran Church in Arvada, Colorado, we have simply become captivated by the hilarious notion that God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save the losers of this world, losers just like us. We proclaim the biblical notion that God saves sinners. Embracing the historic liturgy of the church, we confess that we are just that, sinners. Visit us online at risenchristlutheran.org.
Declaring to you the whole counsel of God, you're listening to Issues Etc.
You may be one of those pastors who need to be refreshed and refueled because of your parish ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Charles Geeshan.
Concordia Theological Seminary has a wonderful program, not only in continuing education during the summer, but in an advanced study program called the Doctor of Ministry. And it's a very practical program because it focuses on congregational ministry. It incorporates biblical theology with the ministry of the congregation. It's also very accessible for pastors, and it's also affordable. You can major in pastoral care and leadership, teaching and preaching, or mission and culture. And we pray that pastors will take advantage of this program.
Learn more about the Doctorate of Ministry program at ctsfw.edu or by calling 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We pray.
We sing.
That's Barry Craft with the first stanza of We Praise You, O God, Our Redeemer. We're talking about the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, a little preparation for Thanksgiving Day tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Our guest, Pastor Peter Bender, is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. Pastor, tell us a little bit about the Concordia Catechetical Academy.
Yeah, thanks. I'd be happy to. The Concordia Catechetical Academy is part of the ministry of our congregation, Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex. It is an official auxiliary that existed for the last 18 years. Our members help in the producing of catechetical materials for the promotion of Luther's small catechism in our own congregation and in the church at large. These materials in the Lutheran catechesis series are for children and adults, and they especially are trying to promote a culture of catechesis and prayer within Lutheran congregations around the world. And catechesis is the unique way in which God passes on his language of faith to the next generation of Christians, converts the heart, and nurtures faith by his word. And Christians learn to pray and confess and receive God's gifts, and that's what catechesis is about. We learn those things by doing the things that that Christians continue to do, hearing scripture, singing hymns, and confessing the faith, and that's what Luther's small catechism is about, and that's the CCA, the Concordia Catechetical Academy, is trying to promote that with our materials and then our annual symposium the third week of June.
Folks, you can find out more about the Concordia Catechetical Academy under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. I want to talk a little bit more about work. You said before the break that the ancient Israelites, they didn't just stand there with their mouths open, and even if they had, they would have been commanded by God to go and to gather this. He had rather strict rules about how and when they were to gather this manna that he provided from heaven, but they were to gather it. Does it mean, this petition to the Lord's Prayer, that we look at our work, whatever it may be, a profession, work in the home, whatever it may be, in a fundamentally different way than simply earning a paycheck?
Absolutely. It is the means through which God not only provides for us and for our families, but our work is also the instrument through which he provides for others. I don't know how many workers think of their job, their employment, as God's gift to their employer. But it is, and that they have a holy and a sacred obligation to do their best, not only to put food on their own table, but to serve their employer, their boss, to benefit his business and the people that God has given him to serve. And whether a company is, you know, a Christian company or not is quite irrelevant, because God serves the world through businesses and companies that exist, and that's how he provides daily bread for everyone, even to all evil people.
Now, let's talk a bit about the danger that is inherent with sinful man, believer or unbeliever, receiving these things from the hand of God. The danger of idolatry. Idolatry, and you spoke about it earlier, in the things themselves, rather than in the one who gives them.
Right. Luther emphasizes that in the praying of the fourth petition that we learn to realize him as the giver of daily bread. And that's why I said earlier, the object of our faith as Christians is not that we believe in Jesus because of the benefit to our personal lives that we are going to get from it, but we believe in him because he is our God. He is our Savior, even if we are stripped of everything else. Like Luther says in his great hymn, A Mighty Fortress, take they our life, our goods, fame, child, wife, let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. And so a God is whatever we look to for our greatest good. and to know what those idols are that we are tempted to trust in, we can ask ourselves the question, what are those things that I simply can't live without? And if I don't have this, I will die. I will go crazy. I'll be beside myself. Then we come closest to answering the question, who do we really trust in? And this is why we said before that we shouldn't have a theology of glory with respect to Thanksgiving. It's easy, or certainly much easier, to thank God for those things that our own will rather likes and enjoys. But to give thanks to God in all things, as Paul says in Colossians 3, to give thanks in all things, even in times of need, that is what faith does, because it ultimately derives its salvation and life and consolation and peace from Christ and not from the things of this world.
Does Christ intend this petition of the Lord's Prayer, set within the context of the entire prayer, to be sufficient? In other words, if a Christian is praying in faith in Christ on a daily basis, give us this day our daily bread, I guess a lot of Christians say, but that doesn't cover all the details, and what I'm worried about are the details. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about making the car payment. I'm worried about that car running smoothly for me for the next 10 years and keeping me out of debt. Maybe I need to be talking about that stuff. Daily bread just doesn't seem to cover it.
Sure. And this is where catechesis comes into play. We don't simply speak this in prayer, this petition, give us this day our daily bread, without faith and understanding. And so catechesis is there to fill up and expand our understanding and faith with respect to this petition of our Lord. And Luther does this so wonderfully in the Small Catechism, because he says, what is meant by daily bread? And the first part of his answer, you could say, this is enough, because he says everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body. And you could put a period there, because, I mean, what more? I mean, everything is everything. But he goes on to be specific and kind of redundant. And when he does so, it really opens up one's understanding to say, I never thought of daily bread as including those things. So he says, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes. Well, that makes sense. But then he goes on to say house, home, land, animals, money, goods. And then he lists things that I think most people never think are a part of daily bread: a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control up for myself, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. There's even more. So he excludes nothing from that list of everything that has to do with supporting our body and life and enjoyment of life in this world. And, you know, even though sometimes we say, as we said earlier, you know, that there are things that are denied us, and but in reality, God is not this miserly curmudgeon who is wanting to deny us stuff. He has given us so many blessings temporally through Christ and through his grace in Christ that the Small Catechism helps to really open up our understanding of that.
Do we sin against this petition and the one who spoke it when we grumble about our job, when we think we'd be better off without government than with government, and and grumble about all the and murmur about all the many things that we have?
Absolutely. And that's not receiving our daily bread with thanksgiving, nor is it bearing witness to our faith in Christ, who did not grumble in the slightest when he suffered the loss of all things. And I think Christian vocation is not primarily about what is my station in life as a husband, wife, father, mother, worker, and so forth. But Christian vocation takes us back to the call of the gospel of Christ to faith in the mercy of God. So when Jesus, in his trial before Pontius Pilate, suffers those false accusations, continues to honor the civil authority even though he is being unjustly accused and sentenced to death, that bears powerful witness to the undeserved love of God for the world. So also for us in our stations in life, if we're being mistreated by the boss, to instead of grumbling about it, to pray for him and for his well-being, and to continue to serve faithfully in our vocation as a worker under that overbearing boss or employer, gives a much stronger witness to our faith in Christ and his undeserved love for us and for that boss and for the whole world than living in grumbling and complaining and anxiety about the situation.
Well, when we come back, I want to explore one other passage from 2 Corinthians where Paul puts it in the starkest terms. He says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." We'll be right back. For a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues, etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled 2, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 15 Easter hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Usually in the Lutheran Witness, we have a theme for the issue. Well, the November issue of the Lutheran Witness brings you something unique. We have broken the mold, done something new. Well, not all that new in the world of magazines. We have brought you a magazine that does not have a theme. We asked our readers to submit articles, and from the 72 articles that were submitted, we culled it down to the 7 best articles that help you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective. So to get your copy, visit cph.org/witness or our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Memoria Press's award-winning Latin programs are designed to teach your student to master Latin grammar through an easy-to-use step-by-step process. By studying Latin, your student will gain an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and develop sound critical thinking skills. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR22. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. MemoriaPress.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
The first stanza of Praise to the Lord the Almighty, sung by the Festival Choir and Hosanna Chorus. We're talking about the petition of the Lord's Prayer, Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. The passage that has kind of stuck with me in this respect comes from 2 Corinthians, I think it's the eighth chapter, the ninth verse. And Paul is in this letter addressing an issue of need. He's in this letter talking about the generosity of Christians, one for another. And I think I just remember this sticking out like a sore thumb when I was reading through this, where all of a sudden in verse 9 he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." What is Paul saying there about God's provision for us in terms of daily bread?
You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You Christians have been recipients of it. He who, though he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the creator of the universe and all things, set aside all his divine power, glory, prerogatives, poured himself out his very lifeblood upon the cross for your redemption. Therefore, you need not fear the loss of any of these things. For our lives as Christians, that is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us, and though he was rich, for our sakes became utterly impoverished. He did so that through the impoverishment of his suffering and death, we might know the riches of his love, which is most clearly displayed in his poor suffering and death for us. And that then, that grace that we know and have received through the forgiveness of all of our sins that we did not deserve, then shapes the life of faith in Christ in terms of sacrificial love for one another, which not only has to do with then Christians, you know, giving from their temporal means, you know, monetarily, but in every aspect of our lives, that it becomes then, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, a delight to us to live in sacrificial love for one another, pouring ourselves out precisely because that's what Jesus did for us and that's what we believe in. And so we pour ourselves out and become poor for others, so to speak, that they might see the grace of God in Christ through us.
Is there an ultimate and final answer for those in Christ to this petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," in the resurrection, the new creation, and the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom that has no end?
That marriage feast of the Lamb that has no end, the resurrection of the body to eternal life, is finally all about being in Christ. That the eyes of faith are fixed upon him, and that he is the ultimate daily bread that sustains us, not for just a moment, but for all eternity. That our entire life and well-being is found in him who gave his life for us. And we become partakers, as Peter says, of the divine nature itself. And so the things of this world for which we give thanks, we need to understand them as tokens of our Lord, who in love gave us his very life, that we might be reconciled to God, that we might live in Christ and in God's divine life and love for all eternity. And that's what matters most, but that's also what God is about. Going back to the third petition, you know, his good and gracious will is to preserve us in his word, in the word of Christ Jesus, and in his faith, the faith of Christ Jesus, until we die. And so what he gives or doesn't give in daily bread ultimately is to serve that good and gracious and saving purpose for us. And that's why Paul in Philippians talks about, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And it's in that same chapter 4 of Philippians where he talks about, "Let all of your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving." And in that same chapter, "I know how to be abased, I know how to abound, I know how to be content in all things." Because for him, to know Christ and the righteousness and the forgiveness that comes as a gift of God's grace was the ultimate gift and the source of all life.
Does this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," also have its answer in the Lord's Supper for Christians?
Yes. In the Small Catechism, Luther does not emphasize at all the Lord's Supper. But in other places, he does. And also, the Lord's Prayer takes on, it shines and glimmers, I should say, maybe differently depending upon the context in which it is used. So, for example, if we pray the Lord's Prayer at a baptism, then those petitions, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come," have particularly strong force there, as the name of God is placed upon the baptismal candidate through the water, and the kingdom of God comes to him. When we use it in our daily prayers at the dinner table, and we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're being taught to receive our food and drink there at the dinner table with thanksgiving. But when we use it in the Lord's Supper, as has always been historically done in the divine services of the church down through the centuries, then "Give us this day our daily bread" has its particular focus in the bread of life, Christ our Savior, who is given to us in the sacrament of the altar. No wonder, then, the next petition says, "And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. For we come to the altar to receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the daily bread, the daily spiritual food and drink, that we might let go of the sins of others and live in Christ's forgiveness for all."
Then, with only a minute, and finally, when we gather together tomorrow around the tables, why does God give us all this? 1 minute.
In our table grace in the Catechism, quoting Psalm 145, "The eyes of all look to you, O Lord. You give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Ultimately, it is that we might receive him who is, in that hymn that you played earlier, our Redeemer and Creator, the provider of all that we need and are and have as Christians, who is the sole object of our worship because he died for us and gave himself for us. So the life which we live in the flesh, St. Paul, Galatians 2:20, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us, for which we say, thanks be to God. His mercy endures forever.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy in Sussex, Wisconsin. Pastor, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Todd. So great to be with you again.
Folks, if you're thankful for the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. No gift is too small. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible contribution at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, we are looking for three major year-end gifts: a $12,000 donation to pay for all our internet and phone costs for a year, a $5,000 donation for our yearly rent of these offices and studio, and a $2,000 year-end contribution earmarked for all our utilities for an entire fiscal year. Thanks for listening. And thanks for thinking of us at the end of the year. This is how it works. And this is the reason God provides for all. And Christians know this. It is because the Son of God was willing to suffer the loss of all things. It is because he was stripped naked on the cross that you have clothes on your back. It is because he thirsted there on the cross that you have drink to quench your thirst. It is because he suffered the loss of all things that your stomach is filled with food, that you have a job. It is because he was rejected by men and punished by his Father that you are received by the same Father in grace and mercy and forgiveness. Now, you may still be rejected by men because the shadow of the cross looms and remains over all those who have faith in Christ. But even in that, we give thanks. We give thanks to God through Jesus Christ, for only through him and his loss of all things for us does God give us and provide us with all things here and for eternity. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.